He just stopped. He took two steps away from my truck door and then powered down.
It's time for Loud Pipes, the podcast that brings you the best conversations relating to motorcycles, the riding experience, and other motoring adventures. Here are your hosts for this episode.
I'm Rich Warfield.
And I'm Texas Chad.
And this is episode 210. We're going to be going through the process of buying a new motorcycle. Requirements, specs, how you decide on what you want to buy and what was purchased. Then we have a little flipping update and dealing with a crackhead. So changing up the opening a little bit, but we still want to cover the beverages. What do you have over there, my man? Proper.
Yeah, it was good proper. I'm drinking the official drink of the Loud Pipes podcast, Liquid Death.
soon to be official. Maybe we can say that.
Oh, do we have to say soon to be official?
I don't know. Maybe allegedly. Official. Allegedly.
Alleged.
Some say. Well, I'm joining you with the same thing. My favorite Bury It Alive. I don't know why I can't say that, but it's already opened. Sorry. That's all I got.
That's all right. That's what happened with mine last week.
All right. Big topic for tonight. I'll say big topic, but really the first topic is buying a new motorcycle. So whether it's new, whether it's used, there is a whole process that goes into the selection. You know, what are your requirements? What's out there? How much budget do you have? How many Farcos do you want? All those good things. And then hopefully, Chad, you're going to tell us which one was purchased.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, without a doubt.
So, yeah, give us a little backstory. I know this is not your motorcycle, so set the stage for what kind of damage you did.
So what happened was the wife, I'm not sure how many of our listeners remember when Jennifer was on here. She talked about how she wrecked her Harley. We decided she was kind of done with two wheels for a while, maybe forever.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, she went, now I'm ready for a two-wheel bike.
So was the Spider the first bike after the Harley?
Yes.
Okay.
The Spider was the first bike, and it was I want to still be able to do long trips, but I need something lighter and easier on my shoulder.
Yep.
She had said that before she wrecked the bike.
So that was already kind of in the thought process anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. She was looking at maybe getting something lighter when we got back from that trip. So fast forward to about 3 weeks ago. I think I'm about ready for something just to put around town, go play with, something that I can keep up with you on your VTR.
Oh.
And I looked at her and I went, well,
good luck. No, just kidding.
yeah, that was sort of pretty much about what was said, which was, you're going to need something bigger than a ZX14 to be able to catch me in the corners.
So make it and up on the straightaway.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was hinting at with her. And she went, no, I want something. I want lightweight. I don't want to be able to have to worry about backing it up. I want something not too expensive. And I went, all right.
But
so let's start thinking.
So hold on. So I'm assuming the Spider's going to stay, right?
Oh yeah, she's not getting rid of the Spider.
So that covers your long distance, you know, your pack it up and go bike. So this is everything below that, I would assume.
Yeah, this is day trips. This is, hey, let's go grab something to eat.
It's
taco night. Let's go run over to that one place where that guy told Rich that he looked like a little bitch.
I've done things. I've acquired special skills over my career.
which, by the way, I still get to hear about that from the Jeep people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what does that guy actually do? He's a contractor. Oh, like your kind of contractor? Sure. My kind of contractor.
And they're like, oh, damn, we're sorry.
Oh, would you let him know we're just playing about that?
Yeah, tell him a couple of tacos and a beer. We're all cool.
Pretty much. So
that's funny.
So we're looking at bikes and we come to an engine size and an engine weight. We want to do right around 450, 500 pounds as a curb weight.
Okay.
So we're looking at 650 to maybe an 800 cc motorcycle. We go down to local cycle center. She throws a leg over, of all things, a CF Moto.
Mm. Which style?
The upright standard. It was the CLX, I think.
Okay. I will look for reference.
Yeah. And it's kind of it looks like a naked ADV without any bags.
Gotcha.
I think that's the one. Yeah. A 700 CL-X Sport. And we're looking at it and everything else. And I asked the guys to run some numbers for me, and it comes out being just a little under $10,000 out the door. And if you're keeping up with CF Moto, you know, the options aren't bad. It's, you know, upside down forks, you know, good tires, Brembo brakes.
Yeah, this thing looks legit with its hardware.
Yeah, it's not a bad looking bike, but I still can't get past the CF Moto.
Sorry, I got to laugh. Reading the description, says the 693cc torque factory is pulling like a locomotive.
Yeah, I noticed that also.
That's pretty funny.
So we looked at that one. We ran some numbers and we kind of went, well, let's look around some more.
Okay.
Then they had the NK600 or an NK650 by CF Moto. Same dealership. It was a 23 model left over from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had it on sale for 4,500 plus TTNL. Well, I can.
Better.
You know,
better.
A CF Moto. This would work out better. She threw a leg over it. I don't like the way this one feels. It feels like I'm leaning forward too much. Okay.
Wait, well, then what's. This is the NK. Well, that looks like a standard too.
Uh-huh.
Because they have a full fared one.
Yes.
That looks more like a sport bike.
Yes, they do.
I would imagine that's quite aggressive. Did she ride that one?
So what started this whole thing the 3-4 weeks ago was a friend of hers is actually getting rid of her sport bike. It's a Honda 300R.
Okay.
And she went, I think I want that. And I went, no, you don't. Like, yeah, I think I want that. No, you really don't. You're not going to like the riding position. I've been doing that. I know your riding habits. You're not going to like this bike.
Yeah, that shoulder challenge you're dealing with, not gonna manifest so well on that.
So we went down there to the dealership, and I had her sit on one, and she went, I don't like this. I feel like my ass is up in the air. And I went, yeah, that's a sport bike for you. And she went, yeah, you're right. I don't like this. Commenced the eye roll and everything else. And so off we go. And we're looking at the CF Motos. And keep in mind, now we're looking at bikes that are under $10,000.
Yeah. And new bike under 10 and, grand.
Brand new bike under 10 grand.
Yeah.
So we start looking a little bit. We start broadening our things. We start looking at Moto Marinis.
I don't know those.
They're another Chinese made Italian motorcycle, 650 cc.
Okay.
Looks like that NK650. It really does look like they've just kind of all been stamped from the same cookie cutter. Only this one says it's made in Italy and it's probably just assembled there.
Right.
Same motor, same design, the whole nine yards. Well, maybe we can look at that. Well, maybe we can look at this. Hey, what do you think about this one? And around and around and around we go. And she finally settles on. I look at her and I went, you just want another Harley, don't you?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want another Harley. Okay, we can make that happen. So we find a used Street 750 that somebody has, and she goes and throws a leg over that. No, I don't like this. This is dumb.
Mm. Did you look, well, I guess continue, but did you go to the Sportster line? Did you try that one? I mean, that's going to be heavier, but.
She didn't like it.
Didn't like that either. Okay.
Threw a leg over a dyno, a Street 750.
An older dyno, the twin shock or the newer ones?
The older ones.
Okay.
Too heavy. So it was like I was hanging out with Goldilocks that day when we were out, you know, shopping for bikes. And we end up going back to the Kawasaki dealership. And I went, you're really wanting a cruiser. Well, I don't know. And I take her into the back area, and they've got a couple of Vulcan 650s sitting back there. And she threw a leg over one of those and went, oh, Goldilocks found one that's just right. Now, it's a 2023.
Okay.
2.5 miles on it. We paid the exact same amount of money for that we would have paid for a CF Moto. We actually got it $1,000 cheaper than a 2024 CF Moto 700.
Very nice. So this is the Vulcan S.
Yep.
That's what Kenny had before he got the Z.
Yeah. 6-speed transmission, 650 Ninja motor.
Yep.
It's the tuning's a little bit different. It's got a little bit more relaxed riding position for her. She rode it around. She's very happy with the bike, but this is what I wanted to point out. We used to look at the Chinese motorcycles and go, well, these are a cheap alternative to buying a Kawasaki, a Honda, or Yamaha, right?
Right. Or the old phrase, it's good for the price.
You know, $4,500 out the door, or $4,500 plus TT&L.
Yeah.
That's not a bad motorcycle. You know, $800 shy of $10,000.
That's a different league.
That's a different league.
Yeah.
But you're telling me I can get into a last year model Kawasaki that's got a better name behind it. It's got better dealer support. And I know I can get parts for that thing.
Right.
For $1,000 less out the door than a CF Moto.
And she likes it. That's the.
And she actually likes it.
Yeah.
And then I dropped another, you know, $1,500 on customization parts.
Did you do the ergo fit with them? Because I know Kenny was saying they're quite adjustable. You know, seat pegs and bars.
Yeah, they're extremely adjustable, but we really didn't have to adjust anything.
Huh.
I pulled the handlebars down towards her, yep. And that's all it needed.
Nice.
And then crash bars are coming, tank bag, seat, you know, rear pillion bag. Places to put her crap and
you're gonna ride
cell phone mount. No. No, if I'm going to ride on the back on one of her motorcycles, it's going to be the Spider.
Now, does it have the passenger seat or is it just going to be a perch?
No, it's actually just a bag.
Goes right on the fender.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Because I'm looking at the pictures here. They look like solo seat.
Yeah, they. And that thing will corner. So we got it back to the house. First night we get it here. I'm like, just set it here. I'm going to put it into the garage in a specific spot.
Mm-hmm.
She goes in the house. I throw a leg over it and I'm like, I'm going to see how, but we're going to go over here in this little area and I'm going to see what it does. And I give it a little bit of gas and it tucks right into a turn, and like I'm almost dragging the foot peg on it, and I straighten it up real quick, and it's like, hey, would you like to do a wheelie? I think you want to do a wheelie. Let's do a wheelie.
Nice.
It's a peppy little machine.
Oh, man.
And it's actually a really fun little bike. And I'm going to again point out, I didn't get to test ride the CF Moto. I didn't get to test ride the Motorini.
Yep.
But why would I when I can get a 2023 leftover from last year Kawasaki for cheaper than the other two or the same price?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I didn't realize that CF Moto was getting up there like that. I was thinking like you, it was kind of the cheaper alternative. You know, they're cloning stuff that's out of patent from what I understand, unless it's their own designs now. Maybe I don't know what the power plant is. Last I knew, it was a clone of, you know, some out of patent Honda or something.
So when I was digging into it and doing all my research and everything else, it's a KTM. It's either a KTM
clone.
It's a KTM and CF Moto motor, or it's a Yamaha CF Moto motor.
Oh, interesting. Well,
but
that,
yeah,
there goes your price then. That explains some of it.
Well, it does, but at the same time, do you want me to go buy a CF Moto or do you want me to buy a Kawasaki or a Yamaha?
Right.
Because at $10,000, you know, the world is my oyster. I can buy whatever I want.
Yeah. Once you get to 10 grand, that opens a lot of opportunities. And then if you start looking used, I mean, almost sky's the limit.
Yeah. $10,000 buys a hell of a bike. I mean, I paid less than $4,500 for that Super Hawk that I've got.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Told the story many times when I bought the Harley new, insane amount of money that I will probably never do again. I just have way more fun now picking up bikes for like $3,000. I can get a whole handful of them for what I paid for that Harley.
Well, speaking of that, you teased flipping some bikes. I don't want to hog the mic all night. Tell me about the flipping on the bike so far.
Well, we haven't sold anything yet, so that's been a struggle, and it's just kind of been eye-opening to the two of us how painful it is to use Facebook Marketplace. I mean, people are people. You know, I don't think this is unique to Facebook, but just the barrage of questions and comments and no response, it runs the gambit of things. And then of course the scams, like let's not forget the scams. We covered that on the last episode with the boys and Alan there, where, you know, we came out and talked about how Bryce's bike was stolen out of a scam. So we don't want to do that again. And I don't know, I'm kind of growing tired already of like buying bikes. For example, we have several that we're looking at, and you ping people and you get some crazy response or you don't get anything. So there's a bike we're looking at now. It's a Honda. What is it? I think it's a CRF 150R, if I've got my numbers right. So it's a race bike, but it's a 150. So it sits somewhere between like the 140 he had and like the 250 he's got now. It's not as big. The chassis is a little smaller, but it's still a race motor. And this one's locked up. So the guy's like, yeah, I'm looking to trade this and that, but he had a cash price listed. So I'm just trying to find out what the cash price is because I don't have anything to trade. And again, no response. And this is one that, you know, I'm ready to jump on. We've got the cash in hand. That's the one he wants. And I can't get a bloody response. So it's that kind of stuff. It's very frustrating.
Do you remember the website I sent you?
I did. And I've been looking at that, thinking about posting there, but the website like crashes my phone. I don't know. Maybe it's my old phone is dying or whatever, but I can't use that website on my phone. It freezes up the browser. But yeah, if you remember the name, we'll put a link to that in the show notes for people to check out. It's interesting to me that it's all about motorcycles and parts, and it's free listings, and man, I hope it's a better crowd than Marketplace.
So I originally heard about this on Cleveland Moto, and I guess we need to tell everybody what we're talking about. We're talking about Two Wheels and Deals. I'm looking at it right now, and there is a 2015 Vulcan 650S listed for $5,000.
Nice. Close by. Well, I guess it's nationwide, right? This is not regional.
Yeah, it is nationwide. The guy who started this, I really think we ought to reach out to him and see if we can't do an interview.
Yeah.
But the guy who did this, basically, he's kind of like you. My understanding is he got sick of Facebook Marketplace. He got sick of, you know, all the scams. He got tired of Cycle Trader, that it's all the advertisements and, you know.
And it's expensive. I've used it.
You go on Cycle Trader and you put in what you're looking for, and you'll get 5,000 pages of what you're not looking for, because those are all paid ads.
Yes.
Somewhere around the last page, you'll find, you know, that sidecar rig that you're looking for.
Yeah. And I tried, I'm trying to think, I think the Deuce actually sold through Cycle Trader, if I'm not mistaken. It was either that or, it was probably Facebook. I don't remember now. Maybe it was Cycle Trader, 'cause I ran the ad there first back then, but if I remember, it's like $30 for the basic ad, and you only get a few pictures, and it only runs for like a couple of weeks. And if you've got something that you're going to have to list for a while, that adds up. When you're talking about buying and selling $3,000 motorcycles, a $30 listing fee is a big cut.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But, we're talking about Two Wheels and Deals, and man, there's a lot of stuff. I could get lost on that website.
Yeah, I'm a computer, like I said, I do, but for some reason my phone doesn't like it. So I'm going to look at that, because I've delisted the 450 from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really got any interest in it. And I think part of the problem is I have too much money in that bike for what it's worth, and I'm just not willing to let it go at a loss. So I think we're going to just end up riding that one.
Yeah.
I might even do something crazy, like put some street tires on it and rip it to Supermoto. Work a few times, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Supermoto.
After talking to Brian, I'm like, I think I need a sumo in the house.
There you go.
So yeah, nothing sold. I'm trying to get a T-Dub 200 for Cameron. One of those, kind of semi fat tired Yamahas.
Yeah.
So after riding that around at Road Atlanta with Alan and Sully, I think it's a good bike for him. It's torquey enough that the clutch almost isn't an issue. You just let the clutch out and the thing just rolls away. It's like a tractor. Plenty powerful for trail riding. The wide tires should make it easier for mud and things. He won't get stuck as much. So I think that'll be a good one. And he's into it. I explained it to him. I showed him pictures. He's like, yeah, I'll try it. So now we got to find one and go get it.
Well, if you find one cheap enough, you can always, if he doesn't like it, flip it.
Yeah, these seem to hold their value pretty well. I mean, the bike's not changed in decades, so it's like the Suzuki DR. You know, they've got a design. It's cleared for sale, but if you ever change it, you know, they got to go back through EPA, so they just keep cranking them out.
Yeah, that's something to be said about the DR650 and the KLR.
Yeah. Well, the KLR has been updated over the years, you know, in recent years. But I think
that's right. The new one's got fuel injection.
Yeah. I think it's the model number is TL200, but it says TW200. And everybody just calls it a T-Dub. But I don't think that's changed in like 20 years. Because I found old bikes from like early 2000s and they look identical. Even the frames going back to like the late 80s, they all appear to be the same. So I'm sure they made small revisions over time, but you've got years and years of these bikes that are all the same.
Yeah, that'd be great for them.
So yeah, I think we're going to get one of those, and then we'll have three bikes in the house, and then Mama will really be itching for us to sell one. And I still have Kenny's Victory here. So I had a couple people interested. I had one guy who was really interested. He was talking about, you know, getting the loan and everything, and he had a lot of good questions. And then when we kind of agreed on, yeah, you know, this will work, and then he disappeared. So nothing on that one either.
What kind of Victory is it again?
Victory Vegas 8-ball. So it's the one that's all blacked out.
Is it the 107? I think they all have the 107, don't they?
It's 107 or 106. I forget the exact model. But it's a 2014.
Yeah, it was the same year model as my Victory.
It's a fun bike. It's got semi-apes on it, or I guess you would call them mini-apes. So your arms are up and extended, but not to an extreme degree.
Mm-hmm. So how much are you wanting for that thing?
It's listed for $6,000. So I'll give you the specs first. So 2014 Victory Vegas 8-ball, and yes, it is 106 cubic inch engine with the 6-speed transmission, belt drive, and it only has 8,500 miles on it, which is the cool thing. So you got essentially a 10-year-old Victory with 8,500 miles on it, stage one exhaust, ECU tune, and air cleaner. So it runs a little better, and just fantastic bike. Brand new tires on it, Dunlop American Elites. He'd probably take 5,500 if you haggled him a little bit. But yeah, it's listed for $6,000. That seems to be in the ballpark based on what I can find out there.
Hmm.
It's a fun bike. I've ridden it around several times, just kind of keeping the battery up and putting fresh gas in it. Like riding it around the neighborhood, you can't beat it. Perfect cruiser for that.
I love the heck out of mine.
I wish they were still around, man. I know they moved on to their DNA morphed into Indian, but I don't know.
Challenger.
Yeah, I would love to have a modern Victory. That would be cool.
That would be really cool.
I think in hindsight, I should have bought that Magnum X1. That would be a fantastic touring bike.
It would, except for the fact that they're just heavy as can be. But then that's part of what makes them a really good tour bike, is the fact that they're heavy.
Well, but at the time, I was moving from a 700-pound cruiser to a 700-pound touring bike. So,
oh yeah,
the transition would have been smoother than 700-pound cruiser to 400-pound sport bikes back to an 800-pound touring bike.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I kind of twitch about wanting a big heavy cruiser or something like that.
Yeah.
And same. Then my knee twitches back and I'm like, no, I'm good.
I'll move the VFR around the garage, and that's, you know, that's about 500 pounds, you know, and I'll just do that once or twice. And then I'm thinking, do I really want a bike that's 400+ pounds heavier? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Exactly. I'm very happy with the Spider because it has reverse.
Nice. Yeah, of course. Let's see. I guess not really flipping related, but we have sort of turned the 250 into a trail bike.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a full length skid plate to go under the engine. We got fork protectors, like lower fork shoes, I guess they're called. So if you beat the bottom of the forks into a rock or something, they've got a little protection. So just kind of things like that, added hand guards to it. So just making it a little more trail friendly than just full on MX bike. And I've got an aluminum skid plate for the 450 that I just ordered, because the plastic ones were never made for 2008. But I got a really nice aluminum one that showed up today, so we'll get that on this weekend.
Just let Bryce do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Here you go.
Which, by the way, I need to look into, I might have to come see you.
Okay.
That way I can have him put a tire on for me.
Yeah, we need to get some better tire changing gear though, but we have, at least we have spoons and a stationary balancer, but I need one of those, not like a full tire changing machine, but you know what I mean? Like the rack, something to hold the tire and help you break the bead and, you know, help you put it back on. That would be nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for that. No wrenching really. We've got an oil change coming up on the VFR. Going to also swap the antifreeze because I realized I haven't done the oil or antifreeze on that bike in 2 years because the October that I had my crash, that would have been the time to do the annual service. Well, I didn't ride for almost a year. And now it's been a year and a half since the crash. So yeah, it hasn't had an oil change in 2 years. It's due.
Yeah. You're due. My Spider is going into the shop tomorrow morning, actually, for a new rear tire because the trip that we're looking at taking with the asphalt chasers right. Is our share of it is going to be almost 7,000 miles.
Ooh-wee.
In almost 2 weeks.
Now, do you run the Spider specific tire or have you switched to the car tire for the
rear? No. After talking to John and his pucker factor he had with the car tire on the back end, that was enough for me to go, no, let's just run a Spider tire back there. So
sound advice from Spider.
Soap. Yeah, that's. Well, he's on his third one. I think he knows.
You know, I got to get John back on the show for kind of a recap, but I need him to go through and come out with some stats. You know what I mean? Like how many miles he's ridden on all the Spiders, like how many rear tires he's gone through. Just, you know, let's pile up some numbers. I think that'd be fun.
I think when we were in Maggie Valley, didn't he say he had 280,000 miles?
Yeah, I think
three Spiders.
He was going to hit 300,000 this year, from what I remember.
Oh yeah, that's pretty easy because just the other day, like a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
maybe 2 weeks ago, him and Dave decided that they needed Louisiana because they're trying to get the lower 48.
Yep. Yeah, John went to Pennsylvania first.
Yep.
And then down.
And then rode down. With Dave.
Yep.
To spend the night in Louisiana to turn around and go home.
Man,
this is also the same. This is the same guy who went, I'm hungry. We should go get clam chowder. Yeah, let's go get clam chowder in Boston.
Yep. Fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing with Florida. They're like, you know, the best key lime pie is in Key West. Let's go get some.
That's a great idea. Let's go.
Oh, man.
I will admit, I'm slightly jealous of being able to do that.
Same. Yeah. Just having the time or freedom, I guess, to go and do that kind of trip. That's, yeah, it's a little bit of envy there.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Any other wrenching? Nothing else in the stable? The Honda treating you all right?
I tightened up the chain, lubed the chain up. I did find out that it's got an M-rated rear tire instead of a Z. So I'm not too happy about that.
Oops.
So it's going to the shop probably here shortly. And I'll have, as long as they've got it, and they're going to be pulling the rear end apart,
yep.
Change out the tire. Just go ahead and throw new sprockets and new chain. Just do it all right there on the spot. Get me a proper, you know, Z-rated tire.
Yep.
I don't know. What do you like for rear tires?
Oh, let's see.
On the VFR.
The ones I have on there now are those Michelin, I forget what they're called, Pilot.
Pilot Fives?
No, they're Pilot Power 2CT. They're not the Road series. They're the Power series. But it's the older one. It's what I ran on the R6 when I started tracking. And I had Dunlops on there. It came with Q3 pluses. I love those tires, but they wore kind of funny. Then I put the Dunlop Road Smart 3s on there, and they kind of had the same funny wear pattern. And they didn't feel as good as the Q3s. So I just went to the Michelins that I had on the R6 because I was familiar with them, and I found them at the dealership. They were on sale. I was like, oh, great. Let's take them, put them on the bike. And they're working out pretty well. They're fantastic in the wet. I never liked the Road Smart ones in the wet. I don't know what it was. I just never had a good feel for them in the wet. But these Michelins are much better when it gets really wet. For whatever reason, they just clear a path. Like when we came back from Maggie Valley,
yeah,
and the rains and stuff we were in, so much confidence out of those tires was really good. So I like Michelins, I guess is what I'm saying, on the street bikes.
Okay.
I liked my Dunlops on the track, but Michelin on the street, but I don't like the road tires. It's just an aesthetics thing. I don't like the look of the tread pattern, but from what I understand, they're fantastic tires.
Groovy. Okay, then.
That's just vanity.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if it's vanity or not. You like what you like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I still have Michelin tires on it. I just don't have the road series. That's all.
Cool. I'll have to look into those.
Is it reminder time? Is it that time already?
Yeah, let's throw the reminder out there.
All right. A couple of show comments and reminders. We haven't talked about this in a couple episodes, so it's always good to throw that out there. And the first thing is we run on the old value for value exchange, so we don't have any sponsors or anything like that. It's a simple concept. We provide the show, and if you found some value in it, you can return that back to us. And that's at loudpipes.net/donate. Very simple donation page. And if you want to put a note in there, you know, by all means, that's another way to give feedback, and we can read them on the air if we get a bunch. Also, if you want to give feedback, there's two other ways. There's a contact page, loudpipes.net/contact. Or if you want to do old school email, you can just email feedback@rdubstudios.com. That's the older studio email. And we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And I understand that Chad may be getting back into social media for us. So he may resurrect the old Facebook page, or maybe even Instagram and Twitter or X or whatever they call themselves nowadays. Have some fun with that. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. We are way too close for motorcycles at this point. I think we need to switch to guns.
Switching to guns. We really need to do a
insert
better
sound effect I don't have. So yeah, we've missed the gun topic the last couple of shows, but they've been good episodes nonetheless. But this is more of our bread and butter. We want to do the motorcycles and then switch over to all things pew pew. So what do you got going on?
Couple of things. We had we're not going to get into that part. Maybe another time. Mm-hmm. But I got my father-in-law a handgun for him to keep in the house with his new place that he's got.
Yeah.
Got him a little Walther PDP. Nice little gun. I haven't taken it out to the range. I haven't test fired it yet. He hasn't test fired it yet. It's still sitting in my safe. Don't know when we're going to get to the range to go shoot it, but that's on the table to get tested. Got rid of my 3D printer, so I've got room to help my...
Don't oh, shake come on. Head. What happened don't with the 3D printer?
I don't want to talk about it. It's lucky that it got taken out of here in one piece and not...
That thing's because I crushed you, it man.
With a baseball bat. Did you ever see the movie Office Space?
Heck yeah.
Okay, that part where they took the printer out into the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about where it was about to go.
Oh, dear. That bad, huh?
Oh, it was awful. It very seriously almost became target practice numerous times.
Well, another quick topic, since you brought up 3D printer, I'm going to be getting some new toys to play with as well. So I've enjoyed the 3D printer from started with downloading files, printing them, and then we've started now making our own parts. So designing something that you want to make and then printing it out. The next evolution of that is something I've always wanted to do, which is have a mill to make parts. You know, I'm not talking, you know, big fancy CNC mm-hmm. at this point, but I have money down now on a desktop CNC. So that's the next thing we want to do is with this bike flipping, I would love to be able to make some of my own parts, you know, little customized pieces here and there out of aluminum or, you know, steel or titanium, what, you know, whatever you want to do to improve the bike, or it could just purely be cosmetic. But that's mm-hmm. the next thing I want to do. So I've got a small desktop mill on order. Should be here sometime later this year. And we'll have some fun stories to talk about that as well.
That's fantastic. I needed the extra workbench space. One of the kids went and bought a low receiver.
Yeah.
And then an AR-15 kit and went, hey, can you help me put this together?
You're like, yeah, let me just push this piece of junk onto the floor.
Make some room. And actually what we're going to do is he's going to put it together and I'm going to stand back and see how many springs he loses on putting an AR-15 lower receiver together.
Keep your magnet handy.
Yeah, pretty much. And then one thing that we talked about, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but, you know, we were talking to Honeycutt and he was talking about how out here we don't have any problems with the homeless. You know, you kind of tell them to F off and they go away.
Yeah.
Apparently the ones that hang around the 7-Eleven at 4:30 in the morning tend to get a little aggressive when you tell them to F off. And I had one decide he wanted to climb into my truck with me.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he's still alive. No guns got pulled. Nobody got stabbed. I pulled up in front of the gas pump, opened the door, put the nozzle in there, looked up, looked around, kept my heads up. I don't get on my phone at the gas station.
Right.
This guy starts walking over towards me. I've got my door pushed open with my foot leaned against it. I'm sitting in my truck. The door is between him and I. I'm sitting down. He's trying to physically push the door so he can come around to ask me for money.
Hmm.
He's like, hey, can I get some change from you? Can I get a couple quarters to buy a lighter? And I went, no, I don't have any change, man. And I made a quick glance over because my carry gun was in my little bag that I carry to and from work that I leave in my truck. And I'm thinking, if this guy gets violent, damn, I'm effed.
Right. It's like, oh, it's out of reach at that point.
It was out of reach. It would have taken me taking my eyes off of him in order to pull my gun.
Eesh.
And I was not breaking eye contact with this dude. He keeps pushing on my door and pushing on my door and asking for money. I'm like, look, dude, I'm on my way to work. You need to go on.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and goes, well, you're not going to help me out. I was like, what part of I'm on my way to work did you miss?
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
He takes two steps forward. He turns around, takes two steps away from my truck, and then it looked like somebody just powered him off.
Huh.
Like hands were in front of him.
And just dropped.
And he just kind of slumped forward, still standing up. And I'm like, if his hands are on his belt line.
Yeah.
I really am uncomfortable at this point. I really need to be I really need a gun in my hand right now because this is about to go somewhere very weird.
So did he keep going then at that point?
No, he just stood there.
Just stopped.
He just stopped. He took two steps away from my truck door and then powered down. Jeez. And he just stood there.
Wow.
I got out of the truck, left the door open. So the door is in between us.
Yeah.
Grabbed a hold of the gas nozzle, slammed it back into the thing, jumped in the truck, and then rolled out. I didn't peel out or anything like that. I just
left. Yeah.
Just left. And I went the opposite direction of where he was. I'm like, I'm not even giving him an opportunity to look at my truck.
Yeah. Well, crisis averted, it sounds like, but that's sketchy.
Well, a lot of people are like, well, what did you think was going to happen? You stopped at a gas station at 4:30.
It's like, well, I'm going to work at 4:30.
I go to work at 4:30 in the morning. What did
I can't wait and get gas at 9 when the bankers roll in.
I'm at work. I don't have your hours. So, yeah.
Maybe get gas on the way home now.
Yeah, that's kind of what was suggested. And I've developed this new thing. Well, I didn't develop it. It's kind of been, it's what's referred to as the gas station low ready.
Yeah.
And that's where you stick a little J frame in your front pocket. You put your hand in your front pocket.
Yep.
And that's just gas station low ready. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's, you know, that does get back to what Brian was saying about kind of knowing where to go and not to go. But I'm the same way around here. Even I don't like getting gas at night. And, you know, if my wife's ever like, you know, after dark, she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go gas up the car. I'm like, oh no, you're not.
No.
It's like,
you can do that tomorrow.
Yeah. That can be done tomorrow or I will do it. But you're not going to do that now at 9:30.
So the thing is, I have stopped at this gas station numerous times. There have been no crackheads that hang out there.
Right.
They play the opera music at really loud levels.
Do they really?
It's great. I rolled in there one time and they had a Phantom of the Opera playing. I was like, man, it's too bad I got to go to work.
That's funny. So do you think this is a change for the area or just a one-off perhaps? I guess you kind of monitor and see.
I go by there every day and I've been monitoring it every time I go past there. And it may have just been a one-off thing.
Yeah.
But then it's, you know, rained like hell for the past 3-4 days. So who knows? It's warming up down here in Texas, so.
It's funny. You never see any panhandling in the rain. I would think if I needed money, I'd be out there rain or shine, but that's just me.
Right? Imagine that. They somehow mysteriously always find money to be able to
get out of the rain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And find new shoes.
Isn't that amazing?
A funny one. And I realize people get stuff given to them and there are places to get clothing, but it always strikes me funny when you find someone and they may look disheveled head to toe, but there always seems to be pretty good shoes, which I guess good for them, but strikes me as odd. Yeah. So on this end, I haven't bought anything new in a while, except for some subsonic ammo, because the big news is I got some, number two, look at you. Oh, sorry, tip on those before. I don't know where you buy them, but around here, the grocery store sells whatever's in the case. I don't know if it's eight cans or whatever.
Eight cans.
It's nearly $20 in the regular grocery store. And occasionally it'll go on sale for $16. The local Walmart sells them for $13 every day. So I'm like, heck yeah.
Yeah, that's where I get them. I go in there and deal with the Wall Martians.
Well, and I'm mixed on the self-checkout thing where one part of me is like, I'd rather have a person do it. You know, this is what you do all day long. You're going to be way faster and efficient at this than me. And we're going to move the line along much quicker. And then the other part of me is like, oh, there's a self-checkout machine and there's nobody at it. I can hammer through this machine and get out of here and I don't have to talk to anybody. So yeah, I'm kind of mixed on that. But the one in our area, they've recently renovated it and expanded and it's almost all self-checkout now, which is, you know, like I say, good and bad. It's
don't get too used to it because the places that have self-checkout, they're actually getting rid of.
Yeah.
They're bringing cashiers back because they're not. Home Depot is one of the first ones. They're like, yeah, we're just losing too much money.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that. If you're the other one that I like is BJ's Warehouse Club or Wholesale Club, whatever it's called. They have an Express Pay now where you can use the app on the phone to scan the barcodes and then pay and just walk out. Which, you know, if you happen to go on a Saturday when there's a million people there, it's fantastic. You just scan as you're walking through the store. You hit the button to pay when you get close to the exit and then out you go. So they do a, you know, kind of an analytics-based checking. So the first time I did it, they scanned everything in the cart. You know, the next time I did it, they scanned, you know, a few things in the cart. And now they seem to just randomly have to pick a few items from the cart when you exit.
Sounds like Sam's.
Yeah. And I like that. The only thing I don't like is they limit it to 25 items and like $700, I think, or $750, which in a place like that, you can get 25 items pretty quickly because the carts are enormous. And I don't usually spend $700, but it's not unthinkable. There's expensive stuff in there. So yeah, it's usually about $200 for me when I go around 20 items, give or take. But anyway, sorry, diverting from the ammo purchase.
Yeah, I got ammo in house too. 1,000 rounds of 9, 1,000 rounds of 5.56. That should be good for a couple of training classes. And
yep. Well, what I've been wanting is on the property that we got, I've been wanting to do a little range up there, but I also want to be a good neighbor. So I'd like everything to be as suppressed as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the 22 suppressor and I have 2 more on the way soon, which were approved and should be here before long. So I got a big 45 can for a pistol. So I can use that on 9 and all the way up to 45. And then another 22, which is just shorter and more compact than the one I have.
The 45 can, check that. I would be curious. I bet you can use 300 blackout on that also.
I believe so. Yeah, as long as it's there's a certain velocity, probably if it's subsonic. I don't know what the specs are, but
barrel length.
But I'll check it. I remember seeing that.
So I've been kind of my own personal thing. I've been waffling back and forth on a Beretta A300 12 gauge and a SIG Rattler.
Ooh.
MCX Rattler and 300 blackout. I'm just like,
I like those a lot.
Yeah.
They're spendy though.
Yeah. Double the price of that A300.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I've got plenty of magazines. I can throw a Romeo dot on it and good to go there.
Now, is that a standard magazine or is it proprietary to the Rattler?
No, it's going to be a standard M4 mag.
All right, even better.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking up the Banish 45 now. So this is a modular one, so it has 2 different lengths. You can run the short or long. I don't see anything about rifle rounds. Okay, yeah, here's the calibers. Nope, 45 ACP, 10 millimeter and smaller. No mention of rifle rounds here. So it's a, you know, it's a it's a pistol suppressor. It's got the piston in it and everything, so you can still get cycling and all that. But the reason I got it is, like I said, on the property, I want everything to be as quiet as possible. So I bought the subsonic 9mm rounds because obviously if they're supersonic, they still crack, even though it may be quiet coming out of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So I got subsonic 9mm rounds. And then I got looking at like a pistol caliber carbine, and I didn't realize that 45 ACP is all subsonic because of how heavy it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, oh, if I get a PCC, I'll just get it in 45, and they're all subsonic. I don't have to worry about it. Like every round I buy will be subsonic.
Yeah, because you're under, let's see, so 220 grain. If you do the 220 grain full metal jacket 45s, I think they're under, yeah, well, like, I know they're under like 960.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're under 1,000.
Yeah.
And if you can get it under that 1,000 feet per second, that's where you get that crack.
Yep. And at that low velocity, even if your PCC has a 16-inch barrel, you're still not going to push it up to where it's going to break the sound barrier. So
no.
So that was the reason for getting the Banish 45. And then because it's modular, on the 9mm, I may be able to run it shorter and still keep it as quiet as I want it to be. So we'll see. But we'll start with the 22. That thing is like, it's like a nail gun. It's so quiet.
Oh, yeah.
People could be roofing next door. It's just so, so quiet.
Yep. Load that thing with the 22 subs.
Yeah.
And it makes you giggle like a little girl when you hear that click.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's a click, bing.
Yeah, it's funny when the slide cycling and the trigger reset makes more noise than the bang or the steel that you're hitting. It's just hilarious. Like the first time I used it, I thought that I was getting splatter off of the steel targets because I kept hearing something hitting the ground next to me. And what it was the spent cases falling into leaves next to me. It was that much louder than everything else that was going on. Just laughably quiet.
I was with a friend of mine who had one, and we were shooting a break open 300 blackout that was suppressed, and we were shooting the 200, I think it's a 220 subsonic. Might be 200 grain subsonic.
Okay.
But we were shooting subs out of it, and you would crack this thing open, you'd throw a fresh one in there. It's a single shot rifle, a little handy rifle.
Nice.
And you'd thumb the hammer back and go snap. And that's what you would hear. You would hear the hammer fall.
Yeah.
And then
bing,
bing. And then we'd laugh.
Yeah. The 22 is like that. Yeah.
You'd snap it open and it'd go flying over your shoulder. And I swear the casing hitting the ground was making more noise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the 22 was like when I used it. It was a lot of leaves on the ground and I kept hearing this noise. I'm like, man, like I'm getting lead pieces coming off the target landing next to me. It's like, no, it's just the empty case.
That's great.
So yeah, the 1,000 rounds of 9mm subsonic was just over $300 shipped. I thought that was pretty good.
That's very good.
They're 147 grain rounds. So that should be fantastic. But yeah, we haven't done much up there yet. We just started cutting trails for the dirt bikes. Realized how much work that was. Just a basic little loop that we tried to cut. Just an amazing amount of work to, you know, move trees that had fallen and, you know, rake leaves so you could see if there's a hole or a rock that, you know, that you're going to go over. Man, I picked up a lot of respect for people that build these trails, you know, in these like parks that you go ride on. And I realize they have machinery, but I mean, Bryce and I probably spent 4 hours raking and digging and cutting things up with the chainsaw and, you know, throwing wood here and there for like one tiny little trail.
You need a tractor.
I do. I need a skid steer or something.
Yeah, there you go.
But it was fun. I'll have to send you the video of the ride. So when you're standing in the woods raking leaves, you're thinking, oh, this will be a fun trail. I'm going to go this way, and then I'm going to turn left, and then I'm going to turn right and go up the hill. It looks cool while you're there with the rake in your hand. And then you get on the motocross bike and you realize, oh, I built the tiniest trail ever. And it's so short and tight, it could be used for mountain bikes. You know, you're just clutching everywhere and turning, and it's hilarious how small it is. And when Bryce and I are done with these hours of work, we're thinking, oh man, we just built this awesome trail. Until you ride it, you realize, oh, that's terrible. That's pathetic. We didn't do anything.
Well, it's your first trail.
Yeah, it's our first crack at it. So yeah, now I realize we're going to need more straightaway, turns that aren't so tight, stay away from the hills. But yeah, that's all I've got on the gun side. Nothing crazy. I need to get out to the range. It's been a while. And people at work want to get together and do some functions here in the next couple of weeks. So we may be doing that. A little team building.
Mm-hmm. I'm teaching a women's self-defense class tomorrow, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Thought I'd get back into it. I went and rolled jiu-jitsu Monday for the first time. I know you had started getting into it, and I was like, well, Rich did it. I can at least go check out one class. Let's see how my knee does.
Yeah.
Man, I had a 57-year-old man wind me up and... Look, I know how to hold my own. And this guy grabbed a hold of me like I was a prom date and just kind of threw me around like there was nothing to it.
So when you say self-defense, this is going to be all jiu-jitsu based, or are you doing firearm self-defense as well?
It's a little bit of both. Class tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, the class tomorrow is going to be a hands-on Hapkido self-defense.
Gotcha.
I haven't taught a firearms class in a long time. I might want to do that.
I'll be a guinea pig.
Okay.
We have to get our first aid training renewed this year too. That's on my list for this year. Get one of those stop the bleed courses.
So I'm actually helping out with teaching the young Marines.
Nice.
It's an actual little group. I think they're homeschool kids.
Okay.
That have their own like young Marines. It's like ROTC for little kids.
Nice.
And it's sponsored by one of the Marine Corps leagues or something like that. And they're like, we want to do a CPR/stop the bleed class. Can you help us out? Yes. I know somebody who can teach the CPR part. And I'll bring some tourniquets and we'll let the kids put tourniquets on one another.
Nice. That'll be fun.
I think that's in May. So.
All right. Well, I guess any other events or anything else you want to cover? Firearm self-defense related?
No, that's about it. You know, there's the big trip with the guys from Asphalt Chasers that we're doing.
That'd be fun. Maybe we'll do a round table when you guys get back or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Get Dave and John on. We can
have a big, I don't say powwow. Can you say powwow nowadays?
I'm not sure. We'll go ahead and call it a powwow.
I'm going with it anyway.
Send your hate mail to.
Right. Chad@no.
Yeah. Set me up an email address.
So one more quick update while we were sitting here, I pulled another manual for this suppressor, and it does say 300 blackout subsonic only.
See, there you go.
And no, there's no barrel length restriction. It just says
subsonic
only, and it's full auto rated.
That could be fun.
That could be fun. I sense a binary trigger or two in the future.
Possibly.
All right. Well, if that's it, I think we'll we'll cue the music and
yeah,
how's the phrase go? Up. Yeah, Bryce messed it up. So locked and loaded, kickstands up.
Locked and loaded, kickstands up. I like it.
All right. Good night.
Thank you for listening. Please consider supporting the show. Find more details at loudpipes.net/donate.